It's June 8th, 2023. It's about 9:40 in the morning. And I'd made some progress on the Dreamcatcher analogy diagramming. And so I just kind of wanted to follow up and expand on the previous recording that I was trying to capture some notes about this concept. So at the very top of the page, in a little bit lighter writing, I have Dreamweaver structure. I remember years ago, I was reading an article about telling a story, and basically what the author was saying was, you know, be a Dreamweaver, not a mechanic. Yes, it needs structure, but it has to flow. It has to be weaved together. And so when I was putting together the diagramming for the Dreamcatcher analogy, it kind of reminded me of that article that I read. So I wanted to just kind of put a little note at the top to remind me of that. So right below the title, there's an area where I wrote quantum entanglement, and I have the sideways, what they call the lazy eight, the symbol for infinity. And the reason I put that there was because I do want to focus on the individual entangled conditioning that each of us are subjected to by being in the world with other entities, other souls, other influences. That's definitely a part of this. But I didn't want to neglect accounting for the conditioned entanglement, the inherent condition. And I think part and parcel with that is the element of the element of resonance. In other words, this vessel that we embody, that we're embodied within, I believe that inherently it is intended to be a resonant cavity. And so, yes, while entangled conditioning is part of the process, we're conditioned, but I think it's an inherent characteristic, or it's an inherent constant, that we're intended, is intended for us to be susceptible, to be influenced by that resonance, the ring of truth. So anyway, I don't want to go any further into that. I just wanted to kind of mention it coming in. But so, like I said, it says quantum entanglement, and I read an article a while back where every relationship that we're involved in, every encounter, or in my terms, every occasion that we engage in, we become entangled. I mean, definitely with individuals, but I think the way the author wrote it, it was even the material world. It's just, it's all entanglement. And even though once that occasion has happened, once we've engaged with that entity, even though we then are separated, there's still the potential, at least the potential, if not the probability, but at least the potential for this spooky action at a distance. In other words, there's still connection. Maybe very loose connections, but there's still connections. So, as I said, this diagramming the focus of this diagramming is on the dream catcher. And so it has a ring with a fine mesh, threaded mesh that's within the ring, fixed at points to the ring, and then spread up around, spread within that ring and tensioned by that ring. And then there's usually a few strings that come down from that ring that attach to the ring and come down from it. And then there's usually beads on those strings that come down from the hoop, from the loop. And then there's feathers at the bottom. So the very core of this diagramming, right above that ring, that hoop, I have as above, and then at the bottom, below the feathers in the diagram, I have so below. And so the complement to that is within that, what I'm calling that resonant cavity. In fact, I have it diagrammed as a tunable resonant cavity. Above that, I have casting of spells. And then below the feathers, I have casting of rolls. So the casting of spells, the casting of rolls. So what I'm referring to there is the casting of spells, that's in the abstract. And then below, that's in application. So the way I kind of looked at that is, I talk about the connect the dots puzzle, and I talk about mental maps, abstract thought instruments. All of these, to me, in some respects, are to considered by me navigational instrumentation. Everything begins as a thought, and our thoughts are what guides our actions. So, what I'm trying to portray there is everything that happens in that abstract. Let's see, what did Jordan Peterson call that? The mythological landscape. It's not tangible, it's the subjective nature of our existence. So everything that happens there is what guides what happens on the stage that we act upon. And we're live. This is ongoing. And so recently, in a conversation, within the last year or so, someone was making a suggestion to me of something that they were putting out there that they were offering up as a possibility of truth. And the way I responded to them was that that statement and that perspective, that view, did not resonate with me. And even when I said it, I realized that, wow, that's really what it is. It doesn't resonate with me, so it doesn't pass through to become actionable. That casting of that spell was something that I rejected, and therefore, there was no role for me to uptake as a result of that. So, based on that experience, when I started looking at trying to diagram a little bit of that, that's what led me to think about the dream catcher and the dream catcher analogy. And so, what I realized was, I don't really know how I thought about. Like this kind of resonance. I never really thought about it in respect to the dream catcher analogy. I never really related the two. But when I did, what I realized was, so we have this connect the dots puzzle. It's the principles and priorities that our lives revolve around. And so inside that hoop, that's where this little connect the dots puzzle resides. And it's tunable, meaning we can change the principles. You know, we can reprioritize. So some of the principles may be more valuable and so of a higher priority than others, but through our lives, these can become evolved, and that's really what the word I'm trying to get to. And each time these evolve, we become an emergent being. It's the process of the essence of being is becoming. So that's that tunable resonant cavity. And so what happens is when a suggestion, the power of suggestion, when someone makes a statement, the casting of a spell, it either vibrates with that within that tunable cavity, that connect the dots puzzle and all the connections that are within it. It either vibrates that, which is the ring of truth, or it does not. There's no resonance. There's no resonant sympathetic vibrations, is the way I have it written. It's a sympathetic vibrational resonance. And so, because it doesn't, it acts like a filter that never influences the ring of truth. So, it doesn't pass down through the threads like dewdrops cascading. That's one way that I described it. It's like ring of truth resonant condensates. It doesn't condensate and pass through like pearls on a string down to the feathers and become passed through into our presence of mindfulness. They never reach the stage because they get filtered out. And so that's where I really wanted to try to understand for myself, and then the best way possible, try to share this with others. How, first off, how these, well, I guess the first thing I wanted to share was what it means that that doesn't resonate with me. It's filtered. And now, you know, this is sometimes of benefit to us, and sometimes it can be of detriment to us. How can it be of a detriment? Well, because each and every one of us, I believe, embodies some level of bias. And that bias is within that tunable resonant cavity, what we will entertain as valuable information or valuable perspective or a possible truth. And so, if it doesn't resonate with us, it's possible that the reason it isn't resonating with us is because of bias. And so, of course, when it comes to personal growth and when it comes to the big picture emerges and expanded consciousness, that bias could be considered a disability. And so in that respect, it's a detriment. However, on the other side, it can be of a benefit because we're anchored. And, you know, if someone is suggesting something and it goes against the very core, the principles and priorities that our lives revolve around, and these are closely held core choice of first magnitude. They're the standard of measure. It's what we choose to treasure. It's the core of the principles and priorities that our lives revolve around. Then it doesn't resonate with us, and it's filtered out. So it's a source of strength. So it can work for us or against us. I guess that's basically what I'm trying to memorialize at that level. It can be something that's of a benefit to us or of a detriment to us. So I don't really think there's a whole lot more I need to cover here. I think that just kind of conceptualizing first off, how we can grow and evolve, and so understanding that connect the dots puzzle, that's the web within that hoop, that ring of truth that I'm calling in this dream catcher analogy, that hoop that's tunable, and that's how we can go through the self-exploration, self-discovery, and self-actualization process that results in command performances and peak experiences. And at that point, then we return to a state of rest. But during that process, some of the principles and priorities within that web of the connect the dots puzzle can become evolved. And as it does, it cascades down into thoughts guide our actions. So you change the course of thought, you change the course of events. So it cascades down into our lives, into our acts. And, it goes down to the jigsaw puzzle. We're acting, it's our acts. We're acting on the stage. And so that's the purpose of two things. It's the purpose of the tunable resonant cavity so that as we evolve, it cascades down and it impacts our actions. But it's also the filter. It's what keeps us true to our principles and priorities, to our standard of measure. It's what keeps us true to what we treasure. So I think that's about all for now. I just wanted to kind of do the best job I could at this point to memorialize what I had developed in this little diagram. And next time I scan, of course, I will scan it and post it up online. But I just wanted to get a little recording done so I could share what I could at this time. Signing off.